Lord has been ministering, and I've been questioning. Sometimes when you question the Lord, you ask Him, He gives you an answer. I better turn it on. 51. What did somebody say we needed a different pulpit? A glass one. A see-through one. I'll have to get my pants all patched up. Of course, if they see my knees, that's modern, right? Oh, yeah, you pay big money for knees that have got holes in them. Where does the word go? What they call good, evil, and what's evil they call good. Oh, boy. I think we're living in that age. Okay, praying this morning, and Lord, give me a few little things. I don't know what this has got to do with it, but I'll tell you what He gave me this morning. He's talking about lovers. You know, and we just sent a couple out of lovers. Hey, we got them all hitched up yesterday. Now they can really physically love each other. Nothing standing in their way, right? It was an awesome, awesome wedding. Bless the Lord. Thank Harry and Aaron for that too. That's such a beautiful place. God's blessed them richly. Right? I just got a little sentence here. It says, lovers spend time together in intimacy. That's Nathan and Karen. Right? They're going to spend time together with intimacy and in intimacy. And you know, that's how God wants us to be with Him. God wants us to be intimate with Him. How long has it been since you've been intimate with Him? There's no experience on earth is more meaningful and fulfilling than intimacy with God. But you know, it takes a little time. It takes a little time. You have to spend a little bit of time with Him, not just a 2-minute prayer. It's not actually a prayer. It's a state of presence. But you got to start someplace, right? I don't care how you start. You can start with the Lord's Prayer. That's fine too. Yes. But then we got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that wasn't quite enough for us. Like, the Lord's Prayer is awesome. I know. But it starts off with the most important thing. Our Father. Right? Our Father who is in heaven. It's awesome how that starts. And you know, that talks about intimacy too, right there. Right? When you make Him your Father. Oh, my, oh my. In one of the Psalms, it talks about, well, you know, that place, I'll just mention it, with where Jesus met the woman at the well. And so he was speaking to her, ministering to her. And then we start talking about places of worship. And Jesus says, you know, we talk about you Jews worship here, we worship there. Jesus said, that's fine, that's all fine and good, but the day is coming, the time is coming, when true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what the Father wants. You see, that's when intimacy happens. When you start worshiping our Father in spirit and in truth. See, Ephesians talks about entering into that love relationship that surpasses all understanding or even our words. Passes that, because when you really have that experience with him, you can't put it into words. There's no words for it. It's spirit to spirit. Like David said in, I think it's Psalm 42. Talks about the noise of the water. Oh yeah. Deep calls unto deep. Deep calls unto deep. This is just my interpretation. Would that be yours? Right? Deep unto deep is our spirit with his spirit. Yes. Have all your waves and billows have gone over me. Like the presence of God comes over us. Right? We have that connection. That spiritual connection. You know, we really need that in our daily lives. Strength to fill us with his love and joy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We need the joy of the Lord in our lives. There needs to be that connection. Our spirit bearing witness with his spirit. That we are his children. Amen. There's got to be a bearing witness. I don't know where that is. This is not even my message. Deep calls on to deep. The noise of the waterfall. Ever stood beside a waterfall? There's only one constant sound. There's no other sound that can drown out that sound. Stand there by the waterfall. Just that. But you know, in the midst of that, such peace. Everything else is drowned out except the noise of the water. Well, next time you're by a waterfall, just think about it. And let the peace of God transcend you and fill you. Beautiful. Oh, I got a question here, and I'm going to leave this subject. When is the last time that intimate time? See, that's what Jesus said, woman at the well. Father is looking for those who worship spirit and truth. You see, we can worship him in spirit because we know the truth. We're guarded by the truth of God. We're protected by God's truth. Second or third John talks about, a lady says, I hear that my children are walking in truth. I am so glad my children are walking. We have to walk in the truth. This is the truth. Daily loads us with benefits. Right? Daily. His benefits are amazing. Now you probably want to ask, what's this got to do with Psalm 51? Well, I don't know. I don't have a clue. No, but you look at, I'll turn back there. Psalm 51, I said, Lord, what's this got to do with us? I said, this looks like the old law. Right? You know that there are, I don't know, 8 or 9 verbs here. David's got. You know, it's good for us to sometimes just recall the Word of God, right? It's good to just, even though we know that all these is covered by the blood of Jesus, right? We all know that, right? We know that it's all covered by the blood as we have entered in. We are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, this is all. Actually, I've got here my notes here. It's all in the package. Psalm 51. It's all in the blood package. It's all covered. All this stuff. But I'm just going to. We're just going to go through it a little bit, verse by verse, a little bit. Okay? Because David was not filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? Well, David really, sometimes, he must have had experience of God, but maybe he doesn't have quite the assurance that we have now. Because we that are filled with the Holy Spirit, we now have that assurance. It's awesome, that intimacy with God, what it does for us, for our spirit. But this is David's cry, okay? This is his cry. Verse 1, I'm just going to cover him quickly, these verses. But he says, have mercy on me, O God. I was thinking about that. Yeah, Lord, you showed your mercy on the cross. I always picture, I don't know if this is true, if I've seen it in a movie, but when he got to Golgotha, and the cross was lying there, I don't know if it was lying, or it was standing up. This is what I pictured. I think it was lying down. Okay? The cross was laying there. And when Jesus came on the scene, and the soldiers around him, and maybe for a minute, they were not paying attention to what Jesus was doing. You know what he was doing? He was slowly crawling toward the cross. He crawled on there and he laid. You see, he gave. He gave his life. Isn't that intimate? Oh, God. Jesus, he did it all for us. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to give my life for you so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's what he did for us. That's how I picture. I don't know if that was Hollywood's production or not, but that's how I see him in my production, in my spirit. And he was eager to die for us. He was eager to give his life for us. Now, we need to give our life to Him. Right? Totally and wholly. Because He's already done His part. Now the Bible says, in Philippians 2:12, it says, work for your salvation. Anybody believe that? Work for your salvation. Oh, that's not what it says. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We don't no longer have to work for our salvation. It's already been paid for. But we all just have to work it out now. Right? We need to work it out now. For it is God who works in... No, this is really good. Verse 13. This is Philippians 2:12. But verse 13 says... I can't get over this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for your own good pleasure. No, you didn't hear that. That was wrong. You didn't quote that, right? It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Not your own. Let's not miss that. For His good pleasure. Wow. You mean you did that all for us and you're doing it and you're continually doing it for your good pleasure? Jesus one time, I don't know if he was talking to the Pharisees or what, but he says, I know my sheep. I know them. I know who they are. Remember that was that time when Jesus made some pretty rash statements about eating His flesh and drinking His blood. It says that many of them couldn't handle that, right? They left. Didn't know all along that actually that's what we're doing. That's what's represented when we take communion. Represents His flesh, and the juice represents His blood. Oh, it's not doing it physically; it's the remembering what He did. You know what? I think I'm going to have to quit. Let's just go through this quickly. Okay, David says, "Have mercy on me, O God." Because we know that God had mercy on us on the cross. And He says, blot out my transgression. This is verse 1. Verse 2, wash me. Another verb. Thoroughly from my iniquity. Becomes another verb. And cleanse me from my sin. Okay? And you know, this could be it's already a done deal, but you know, maybe it could be a daily thing too. It could be a daily thing. And guess what cleanses you the most? Wash me with the water of the Word. When we read the Word daily, we're being cleansed. I don't know if you realize that. As we study the Word, as we go through the Word, we're being cleansed daily by the washing of the water, by washing of the water of the Word. The Word is like water. It's a cleanser. It's a purifier. Right? So we need to. We cannot neglect to read the Word. If that's the way it is, we cannot neglect it. Lord, I need to read your Word. And I know because shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. You see, as we read, we know realize more truth, and as we apply it to ourselves, hallelujah. So daily we are washed with the water of the Word. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wash me. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned. Done this evilly. You know, I'm so glad of the Holy Spirit. But it says in a different portion, it says when Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit would come, he would teach all things and bring all things to our remembrance, right? Of all that you have said to us. But we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. My, oh my. I thank him daily, I tell you. Oh, the Holy Spirit teaches us, cleanses us as we read the Word, directs us and guides us. Like what a helper. What a help. We cannot live without the Holy Spirit. Why? We cannot neglect what he's doing in our lives and what he's saying to us, right? We need to listen and obey what he's telling us. Yeah, we need to obey. Well, David here, he was covering all bases himself. Just in case I've sinned, Lord, blood on my sins. Sometimes where I missed the boat, Lord, forgive me. Right? Forgive me, Lord. Wash me. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. And he talks about, I know where I came from. I entered into my mother's womb. He conceived me. I was born in sin. We all were. We all were born in sin. Wow, my time's slipping away. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Yeah. Yeah, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Tell you. And again, he keeps on. He wants to be really clean. He really wants to make sure he's clean. So he keeps repeating it. He says in verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness. Ah. I tell you, we don't have to fall short there, do we? When we enter into his presence with our heavenly language, all of a sudden you will sense the joy of the Lord just coming in. You know, that happens to me all the time. There is not one morning when I come into his presence that here comes his joy. Here comes his intimacy. He makes me know how much I'm loved. Right? And that has nothing to do with really what my performance really was the day before or the week before. It's all about his love. Right? Yeah. Unconditional love, the Bible calls it. No conditions. Sorry, my son and daughter. There's no conditions. I just come close and I just want to love on you. That's all. If there's any other stuff, we'll deal with that later. Okay? Right now, it's our time of intimacy together. Yeah. I'm trying to think of this song. I remember. Oh, there we have. Lot or verbs. Verse 1, blot. Verse 2, cleanse and wash. Verse 7, wash. Verse 9, hide your face from us, blot out all my. But we have the work. He's hidden us in Him. We are now hidden in Christ. So no devil can get at us. Right? We're hidden. Hallelujah. Hide me in the cleft of the rock. That's where we are. We're in the cleft of the rock. Verse 10, again, he goes, he's still washing. Create in the clean up. And renew a steadfast spirit. Verse 11, do not cast me away from you. We know that happened, right? I will never leave you alone. Right? Am I talking loud enough, Jim? Good. Do not take your Holy Spirit. Well, we know that one too. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you, right? I don't know, maybe David didn't have that assurance. But we do, right? We're the blood-bought church. Hallelujah. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Here we go. And uphold me with your generous spirit. His spirit is generous. A generous spirit gives, right? Above and beyond what we're able to ask or think, the Bible says. That's a generous spirit. He's so generous. He gives us more than we can ask or think. Wow. Are we blessed or what? Hold me with your generous. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted. You know, when we spend time with God's presence, we automatically want to tell someone. Right? It's like the song goes, it's bubbling up, bubbling up inside. Right. Got to tell someone. Got to tell somebody about Jesus. Where are the testimonies? His family. Right? Oh, yeah. Thank God for them. Here he goes again. David is still not sure of his. He's not really sure of where he's standing with God. I don't know why. He's got these doubts, right? Maybe sometimes when we run into difficulties, you know, we start doubting a little bit. Does God really love me? Does God really know the situation I'm in? Is he ever going to come and help me? Is his ears deaf that he can't hear? No. No, no. He's steadfast and moving. Always abounding. I would say abounding in his love. Yeah, right? We'll never quit praising Him. We'll never quit loving Him. I'm just about done. What done? Deliver me, verse 14, from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. And David had a lot of that in his life, didn't he? God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, O Lord. Yeah. He spent some time with the Lord, and now he can tell others freely what God has done for him. And here he's now, verse 16, he's really He's really hit on that truth here. He says, for you do not desire a sacrifice, or else I would give it. He's got that right. He wants a love relationship. He doesn't want... Maybe you could say, well, I'm going to give $500 next Sunday. You know, so the Lord maybe will, you know, have mercy on me and do this or do that. Oh. He doesn't want sacrifices. What does he want? This is what he wants. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. These, oh God, you will not. You might, someday you might be saying, Lord, you know what? All I'm doing is, all the time I'm bawling. When I come to you, I'm always bawling and crying and sniveling and, oh Lord, I bet you don't like when I come. That's not the truth. You see, actually tears come from your heart, not from your eyes. Your tears start from your heart. And God sees that. Don't be ashamed of your tears ever. Don't be so macho that, you know, I'm tough. I'm never going to cry. I know that was an old motto way back, but I don't know. In the world, it probably is. If you show any tears, that's a sign of weakness. We know that's not true. Actually, that's a sign of strength. Right? Tears are actually a sign of strength. Tears are actually a sign of your spirit bearing witness with his spirit. And when that happens, we cry out, Abba, let me be yours and yours alone. That's what we all want, right? We want to be his alone. Your tops. You see, like even like Nathan and Andrea, I don't know if you can talk about them, but we know they love the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart. But I hope they put him first. You need to put him first. Right? We have troubles. We've got to get up in the morning and start having a conversation with him. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct us. A lot of times we need direction. Right? We need guidance. We need strength. Right? We need his joy. Yeah. Then we will be successful as believers. Right? We'll be successful. That is the end of the verse. But like I told you before, it's all in the package. Verse 15. It's all covered in blood. Right? It's good sometimes to remind ourselves. See, this is a good reminder. We got to just read that and remind ourselves where we've come from, what he's done, right? And our standing with him. You see, he wants our right standing with him. Walk in truth. That's what the lady told that in 2 John there, or 3rd. I rejoice because I see my children walking in truth. This is truth. This is what we do. Amen? God bless you. Next, we go to piano. We're going to close with a song or two. But anyway, the altars are open here. And I want to encourage anybody